B'choras Perek Ches Mishnah Vav 8:6. This Mishnah has many different elements to it. The first part of it is really ramping up what we've been discussing from the past couple Mishnahs, situations of suffix, uncertain status regarding the boy. So the first case of our Mishnah is Achas Bikra V'Achash Lo Bikra Shel Shtei Anashim. You have two women married to two different men. One of these two women, this is her first child, and one of this woman, it's not her first child. They gave birth again in a dark cave. The children get mixed up. In the morning, we see there's children here, but we don't know who the mother or father is of the kids. So it says the Mishnah, V'yaldu shnei zecharim, if what's in the cave are two boys. So we don't know which boy belongs to which mother and which father, but we do know that the man who was married to the woman who never had a child before, she had a boy, and therefore, whichever of the two boys is his, that boy needs to be in a ben. And therefore, zesh lo bikra ishto, the man who's married to the woman who never had a child before, Nosen Chamesh Slaim LeKohen. He has to do Pidyon HaBen for his son, whichever one he is. If Zachar UNeKeva, however, if the two children found in the cave the next morning, one is a male, one is a female, the din will be Ein Kan LeKohen Klum. No payments made to the Kohen whatsoever. Why? Because the one who it's his first child could say, well, it's my first child, my wife never had birth before, but the girl is the child she bore, maybe, so I have no obligation to Kohen, and the second husband will say, listen, even if the boy is mine, so what? It's not my wife's first child, so there's no Peter Rechem here. Okay, straightforward enough. Now, in the Bavli, a new Mishnah begins over here, and now we're going to a new topic. We're leaving Sfeikus on certain situations, going now to certain situations. So the basic baseline case of Pidyon HaBen, says the Mishnah, Mesa ben besoch shloshim yom, if the child dies within its first 30 days, so then afal pisha nasan lekohen, even if the father would have preemptively given five slime to a kohen, saying, listen, you're here now, I don't know when I'll see you again, let me give you five slime, and when my boy turns 31 days old, at that point, he'll be redeemed onto these coins. But the problem is the boy never made it to 31 days, so then, therefore, the din will be yachzer lo chamesh slime. The kohen must give back the five slime, which were given to him because he has no claim to them. Then there was an obligation to Pidyon HaBen because Pidyon HaBen obligation kicks in only after a full month on day 31. La'achar shloshim yom. If, however, the child died after 30 days, meaning the child was 31 or 2 or 3 days old, and then the child died, but the father had not yet redeemed him, afal pishlo nasan yitain. Even though the father didn't give the five slime to the Kohen during the child's lifetime, he must still give it after his death. Okay? So you see here that there's a mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen that is like a on the Ikaron, the essence is on the person, on the child. The father, he can preemptively do it, as he should, same as like Bris Milah, same as Talmud Torah. The father takes care of it, but if the father didn't, the son does it. But here, we're saying that there's also an element of financial obligation. The father has to give the five slime to the Kohen once his son, his Bechor, becomes, you know, 31 days old. Kind of like, very loosely speaking, you know, if a person, you know, separated his crops and he didn't give Truma and he ate it all, he has still, you know, he owes something to the Kohen, even though it's not here anymore. So too, the child's not around anymore, but he still owes something to the Kohen. The din is, therefore, he must give the five slime. This is halacha lamaisa. There's even a bracha to be said, al pidyon haben, but no brach of Shechianu if the child's not alive anymore, says the Ramah. Meis b'yom shloshim. What happens if the child dies on the 30th day? So does that count as being the full obligation or not? Because the obligation says, mi ben chodesh v'ma'ala, from ben chodesh, a month old. So does that include day 30 or not? So says the Mishnah, k'yom shlafanav. Day 30 is like the day before, meaning day 29, meaning if the child died on day 30, even if the father had prepaid, he gets the money back from the Kohen, because there's no obligation to do Pidyon HaBen until the 31st day. Rabbi Kiva, that's the halacha. Rabbi Kiva is not sure. Rabbi Kiva says, I'm not sure about the 30th day, it's a question mark to me, and therefore, since it's a suffix, im nasan lo yitol, if the father gave already the money to the Kohen, he can't get it back from the Kohen, because it's a suffix and a motzim mechaver levaraya. The father would have to prove to the Kohen he's entitled to a refund, but he can't because it's a halachic suffix, indeterminate. Vim lo nasan, if the father had not yet given, Lo yitain, he doesn't need to give because the Kohen can't force the father to give because the child died on the 30th day and it's a suffix if the father owes it, says Rabbi Kiva. And again, Hamotzim Chaver Lavaraya. As far as the suffix of Rabbi Kiva, it's technical. I don't want to get into so much here. It's much more complex than you'd imagine. It has to do with the fact that the expression Ben Chodesh V'ma'ala, the V'ma'ala, and older, used in two different contexts. One with Pidyon HaBen in the Midbar, and one with the Parsha of Erechin. And that question then is, does this constitute what's called a Shnei K'suvim Habam Ke'echad, two verses that come, that are doing the same thing twice? And the rule, therefore, would be, under normal circumstances, Eina Malamdin. Therefore, we can't extrapolate further from those two cases, in which case, and Rabbi Kiva's not sure what to do with that. Okay, I'm going to leave it short as that. If you want to understand it more, you have to go to at least the Bar Tanura or really the Gemara. It's more complex. In any case, my point is it's a very technical suffix it has based on how to learn the drushes around those psukim. Okay, the Mishnah continues now. A new case, and again, another Mishnah, new Mishnah in the Bavli. Meisa'av besoch shloshim yom. What happens if the father dies within 30 days, meaning that he died before the obligation to redeem his son ever kicked in? Bechezkas shelo nifte. So the assumption is that the child was never, the halachic assumption, the chazaka is, the child was never redeemed. Meaning, when he becomes of age, if a Kohen says, listen, you never got redeemed, you owe me 5 slime, he can't say, well, maybe my father redeemed me. Maybe he did, but probably he didn't. The chazaka is he didn't, and therefore he must be redeemed. Ad sheyavi raya shenifta. He only could exempt himself from the obligation if a raya, proof could be brought, like two witnesses could be brought that says, listen, witnesses testifying, the father gave the money to a Kohen before 30 days. Without that, the child must be redeemed. La'achar shloshim yom. What happens if the father dies after the child passed the 30th day? So that means the chiyah for Pidyon HaBen kicked in. We don't know if he did or he didn't do Pidyon HaBen. Now, it's certainly true that the chazakah is a person doesn't preemptively pay his obligations before they are due, which is why in the first case, the Mishnah said before 30 days, the chazakah is he wasn't redeemed. Now, what about after 30 days? On the one hand, people don't rush to pay their bills. On the other hand, people rush to do mitzvahs and, you know, the child had obligations. So how should we look at it? So on balance, the Mishnah is going to say, we assume the child was redeemed because that was the mitzvah, but it's a weak assumption. And therefore, the Mishnah will say, you don't need a full riot to the contrary. Says the Mishnah, Bechezka shenifta, will assume the father took care of his halachic obligations before he died, ad, until, and now the words sheyavi raya, which many Mishnahs have, should probably be taken out, and sheyomru lo, until they tell him, should be put in, and in fact the halacha reflects this, shlo nifte, that he wasn't redeemed. Meaning, if anyone will testify, even a slave in the house, you know, and says, before your father died, he told me, I need to redeem, or I haven't redeemed my son, that will be enough evidence to realize that the child has not yet been redeemed. Okay? You don't need a full-blown riot of witnesses saying, you know, two witnesses testifying, your father swore to us, he never redeemed you or something like that. Not necessary. And that's the halacha. Not necessary. If anyone says the child has been redeemed, we believe them. Otherwise, we assume the child was redeemed or the father took care of his halachic obligation. New case in the Mishnah. Who liftos uvno liftos? A man has, we'll call him Yitzchak. Okay? Yitzchak has a son named Yaakov. And Yitzchak's father, Avram, never redeemed him. So now Yitzchak has two Pidyon HaBen to do, his own and his son's. The problem is he only has 5 slum total in his possession. So who should redeem, himself or his son? Says the Mishnah, Hu kodum es beno. He, Yitzchak, gets priority over his son, Yaakov. Why? Because this is his mitzvah. In other words, we said that the essential mitzvah is on the person. So Yitzchak has an obligation to redeem himself. He also is supposed to take care of his son's obligation, but if he can, so his son will. Since if you have two obligations, one that's yours about you and one is to take care of somebody else, so the one about yourself goes first. That's the case over here. And therefore, he should spend the 5 slime on himself to redeem himself, and the son will have to redeem himself when he comes of age. Now, the last line of the Mishnah here is a little misleading. Okay, it's going to have Rabbi Yehuda ostensibly disagreeing. There is a machlokas here, but it's not exactly what it looks like. The issue is like this. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the following very specific case, the halacha is that the father Yitzchak should redeem his son Yaakov and not himself. And the case is specific. It's a case where Avram, Yitzhak's father, never deemed Yitzhak. Avram died. In his estate, he bequeathed to his son an inheritance of some property. The property is worth 5 slim. So therefore, the property or more. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, who the Halacha and the Tanakhama disagree with, Rabbi Yehuda holds, as I mentioned kind of in passing a couple of times already in the earlier Mishnayos, he holds that the obligation to do pidyon a ben is like a milv, since as the Torah writes it explicitly, it's as if it's a milva hakasuv b'shtar, as if it's like a loan that's like written in a contract, in a document, the Torah is the contract. And therefore, the whatever person has a milva loan that's written in a contract, so that written contract creates a lien on his real assets. So that means when Avram died and he bequeathed this property to his son, that property already had a lien of 5 slim on it, like by the Kohen, so to speak, to redeem Yitzhak. So now if Yitzhak sells that property prior to his son Yaakov becoming 30 days old, so then the purchaser essentially buys a liened property, which has a lien to pay 5 slim to redeem Yitzhak. In that scenario, Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, Yitzhak now has just 5 slim to his name. So he should use those 5 slim to redeem his son Yaakov, because then Yitzhak can go to the purchaser of that property and say, listen, that property that you bought, which was owned by my father, had a lien because my father had to redeem me and he didn't yet. And it's like a milva kasu b'shtar. It's like the Torah said you have to pay a 5 slim, so that's like encumbered. It's put a lien on the property. And that way, Yitzhak can also get the money to redeem himself. Okay? Now, the Chachamim disagree with that. The Chachamim say no. The obligation for one to pay a Kohen to redeem his son is not written anywhere. And yes, the Torah says it, but that doesn't give it the status of it remains like a milva bepeh, like a loan that's done, of oral loan, which does not encumber the property. And therefore, there'd be no way for Yitzhak to go back to the property inherited from his father Avraham and get the money to pay for his own pidyon ben. That being the case, the Chacham say, if you have 5 slim, in all cases, for the same, you always redeem yourself first, not your son, because that's your obligation. The son will do it himself. Now, the words that Rabbi Yehuda say are as follows. Rabbi Yehuda omer, beno kodmo, his son is the one who he should redeem with only 5 slim he has. Again, in the weird case I just described, where that's the only money he had, but he had previously inherited a property from his father, which he sold prior to having a son, and that property therefore has a lien according to Rabbi Yehuda, which can be collected upon. Shemitzvaso al aviv, because since there was an obligation, a mitzvah on his father Avraham to redeem him, that encumbered the property which he inherited and sold. And therefore, there's a lien which he can collect on to get the money to redeem himself. Umitzvas beno alav, and he has a separate obligation to redeem his son. So if he does it this way, using the 5 slim cash to redeem his son, he'll be able to also get 5 slim to redeem himself, Yitzhak will. But if Yitzhak spends the 5 slim to redeem himself, he won't be able to go and get the 5 slim from the encumbered property to redeem his son Yaakov, because there's no lien on that property to redeem Yaakov. Okay? That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Halacha does not follow him. The halacha is like the Tanakhama, meaning one always redeems himself before a son if he has to make the decision. And in fact, property has no encumbrance. If a person fails to redeem his son, his estate, you know, there's no obligation on the estate. If someone buys it, it's not got a lien on it, an encumbrance on it to pay for the pidyon haben.